Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water. All with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger. Fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome, one and all, on this fine Saturday afternoon to Knife Talk, the podcast for knife makers, makers in general, anybody with an interest in knives, or people who just like to listen to our shit every week. It's just myself and Jeff this week. Jeff Fader of Fader Knives and myself, Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. Normally, we are joined by Mareko Mamasi, but it's his birthday. It's his 50th this week. So please, everybody message him. Wish him happy 50th. Yeah. It's his birthday. It was yesterday. If you're hearing this on Monday, it was Sunday. But I'm sure he'd still like to be inundated with messages saying happy 50th. It would make his day. I'm sure of it. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. I'm tired, but good. The funny thing is like the listeners are listening to, yeah, let's DM Mareko, but they also know that he's like block crazy. So,
I mean,
we have resurrected some of his. The funny thing is, I actually thought about a game we could play at some point would be I get DMs a lot. I get DMs a lot asking questions. Frankly, DMs from like Forge and Fire champions asking me pretty dumb questions. Like, I get to the point where if you're a Forge and Fire champion and you're asking me like a simple question that you should figure out,
they should strip you of those stripes, I think.
You're legitimately devaluing Forge and Fire, because yeah. You're going to me, yeah, it's a problem. But I had this game in mind that we're going to have kind of work on, which would be like, I'm going to read DMs anonymously that have been sent to me, and you and I are going to bet whether or not if it was sent to Mareko, he would block them.
And then
we're going to like, we would have to like, he would, we present him in the situation. And then he would say block or not block. And the stakes are this. If he says block, we have to block them. So this could be the game of games, because it's like, I get some shit sent to me that it's like, it's I get inane stuff. I get perfectly good, nice stuff.
Yes,
but
yes,
there's like and I'm appreciative of everyone who sends me questions or sends me anything. I'm not talking about for Knife Talk. I'm talking about for, you know,
general
civilian
life.
Civilian Jeff.
Yeah.
And it is, I always think to myself, you wouldn't send this to Mareko because he'd block you. So we're going to come up with this game. And I already have all your all the inane DMs. And I already have them all anonymous. And I've been planning on this for a while. So we're going to play the game. And the stakes are, if Mareko says block,
we block.
I'm out of you're out of my hair. So
this will be the block party episode. Okay.
We're going to figure it out, okay. But I know that you're not going to send him anything. You're not going to spam him. You're not going to spam him because he's
pretty
on the
trigger
edge.
He's pretty trigger happy with that block button, yeah.
It's amazing. But God bless him. Happy birthday. Mareko's having a nice time with his family. Yep. And he's doing a lot of stuff with his Patreon for his birthday. So, you know, get on board for the Mareko Mamasi Fire Arts Patreon. There you go.
Yes, yes.
How are
you? He'd love it for his birthday. I'm okay. A little bit delicate. I've had a few days of it. My brother's been over with his kids. He's got 15-year-old twins and his wife. So we've been doing the whole sort of tourist thing with them for a few days. They hadn't been to this house before. So, yeah, we've been showing them around, making good use of the pub we've got on site here. And just, yeah, it's been good fun, but just knackering. Absolutely right. Tiring. They left this morning. So we've just been, my wife and I have just been on the couch all morning, just like, oh, I don't want to deal with life. But here we are. This is life.
Did you have a gig recently? How's the music world?
Well, I should have had one last night, and we haven't had one for 3 or 4 weeks because various members of the band have been on holiday. We had one booked in for last night. Yesterday morning we had a call saying they were cancelling it because the weather had been really changeable. We've had thunderstorms and so on, right. And it was an outdoor gig. So that was cancelled. Then there was talk of me doing like just an acoustic show indoors, just because it wouldn't matter too much with the weather. And then like 2 hours before, he just said, oh, there's no point. Nobody, you know, but we've already told people it's cancelled. So that was then cancelled. And it was just a funny old day yesterday. So no, there was no gig in the end. But that's been, we changed dates. We're basically in 3 weeks' time, we're doing the same thing, but indoors. So it's been a funny old week. It's one of those weeks where the days, you don't know what day it is because, you know, you're doing different things to what you'd normally do. I'm extremely delicate in the head today. We had,
I got you.
The port came out at about 1 a.m. and
Jesus, 1 a.m.
Yeah, 1 a.m. and yeah, so now it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and I've still got the head, the throbbing head, and for the throbbing head.
Hey, baby. Watch, hey yo, watch out, hey yo.
No, it's good. It's been a good week. Work-wise, I think, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on the show, but I've been working on something sort of quietly in the background for a while, which is a product which is, it's knife-related, but it's not actually a knife. It's something that knife makers would use. I think it's ready to go now. I think it's ready. So I've got a few hundred of these. I'll be sending a few out over the coming weeks to various people. But I've tested it. A few people who I know have tested it, and they love it. So I think once I've posted a few this week, I think next week I can sort of talk about it a bit more.
Okay.
It's probably quite obvious what it, I think you know what it is, Jeff. It's probably quite obvious what it is to other makers. But so that's been good. I've also put in a huge order for my next big run, and I'm taking it easy because this is almost like gently coming back into work. I've been on basically a long maternity leave, if you like, doing the minimum because I've been busy with babies and so on. So this is a butter knife run that I'm doing, which is very, very simple but very elegant. So I've just put in a big order of laser cut blanks, ready for me to do my thing with. So that's gonna be interesting. They're something a little bit different, very much in my sort of minimalistic sort of style, I suppose. But they're nice. They're really elegant looking. So they're going to be cool.
Now I'm going to ask you a tough question.
Go for it.
Have you figured out your shipping situation? I know you've had years of problems.
I've had 18 months of problems, yes. I sort of have. in a way, I have, but it just makes things very difficult for me. So basically, I can have one day of shipping each week, which will be Friday mornings, and I'll be out of the studio. Or basically, it's taken me a full day to do the shipping because I need to drive somewhere else. I need to drive into the city to get everything shipped off at a FedEx office. They won't come to me here, even though they advertise that they'll ship from any point in the world. Financially, it just makes no sense for that to happen, that I need to take a day out and go into a city to do it. So that's all sorted. There are huge delays going to the UK still, but that's beyond my sort of, you know, anything I can do about it.
But that's been your biggest problem lately, hasn't it?
It has. Most of my customers have been US-based. UK-based. And that's been a huge, huge problem, both with customs and just general slowness. All I can do is the best that I can do at the moment. I've spoken to Tomer about it. He's using a service which seems to be working really well for him. He's had not really any problems, but he's in a city. So, yeah, I'll be doing something similar, but I have to drive to the city each time, which is, you know, it's a day out for me, unfortunately. But so the shipping issues will be, you know, resolved the best they can be. It's a very, very simple knife. All the packaging's already done and everything for it as well. It's cool, and there's a bit of a link with this knife to that product that I was talking about as well just a few minutes ago. So it's a butter knife, and the product is linked slightly. So if you were to buy a butter knife, you'd also get this product for free. Just saying. What about you, Jeff? What's been going on?
Well, I've been taking my kid to colleges. visiting colleges.
Yeah, I've seen, and it looks like you're having a lot of fun.
I tell you what, it's like a roller coaster of emotions, and it's been. I went last Monday, and I'm going to go back to two more schools this Monday. And it's been wild. I mean, it's been wild. I mean, I know you and Mareko have young kids, and my kid's about to be a senior, and it's been awesome. And she works hard, and it's interesting because she is very aware that her future is dependent on her being able to be independent, and that independence comes from, you know, she knows that she had to work hard, so she's really been very. She's been very good in the student department, and you know her grades are great, and her test scores are good, and her extracurricular activities are good. Is it Ivy League? We don't know. It's going to be like she's got a puncher's chance in a couple of these places, and it'll be fun. The only dumb part about it has been dealing with the other parents on these tours, and we were at a really great school, and you know the kids are all sizing. You know they're on a tour. There's no interview on a tour. These are just like kids looking at schools.
Yeah,
and the kids are all sizing each other up, you know, in front of the tour guide, which is annoying. Which is like they're all like giving each other the eye and trying to gauge what they're, you know, just by looking at each other, who's, you know, who's fit to be on this campus
Some
or not.
Some sort of social ranking going on.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. And then the parents are even worse. They ask these questions. This is one parent says, my child wants to do a double major, and what do you think about asking a fucking 20-year-old tour guide about double majors? So I was just like, I turned to my kid, I was just like, that was a flex. And she says, yeah, that was annoying. And then I was just going to be like, I was going to do, well, my child wants to be a triple major. And I was just going to like, I kind of wanted to like make a scene, but then I was just like, yeah, this is not about you, Jeff. You know, you'd have to go. But
so have you managed to convince her to stay on the East Coast now? Because I know you've been looking on the West Coast as well.
There's two things. There's a lot going. There's a lot of, and I'm not going to go into the personal situation because once again, I sometimes get messages that are just like a little bit, be honest with you, slightly surprising. So I'm not really. I'm going to keep everything as vague as possible from now on. But wherever she goes, it's going to be fine. So we're going to be happy with the decision that she makes. And, you know, look, it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's you know, it's a lot going on. So we're going to go to a couple more schools. But in the meantime, the shop has been banging. And we're working hard on some new stuff. I'm already thinking about next year. We're thinking about Christmas time stuff, Thanksgiving time stuff, and I be honest with you, I'm changing my opinion on the reels, Instagram reels, because I did a mediocre reel where I got my balls broken because I couldn't figure out how to change the spelling on the captions, and all of a sudden Charlie Lionheart is giving me fritz, and then all these guys are chirping at me about, yeah, I swear to God, you could literally do anything, like just I mean, amazing anything, and someone's going to give you trouble about your about the things that you spell. However, no one goes after like Mareko or Neil or anybody who have any other misspellings. They come after me because they think that they, you know, they want to, whatever, it's fine. So I changed it, I redid it, and get the new phone, got the new camera, I'm gonna be getting a couple new things. God damn it, that reel shook some trees, as we say. It shook some trees.
When you say a couple of new things, you're not getting a selfie stick, are you?
No, not getting a selfie stick.
Okay,
there's gonna be some slight investments in film quality.
Nice.
Because this mediocre reel shook some, we call it shaking the trees. The trees. So it was like direct correlation with some sales. So I was just like, okay, well, all my negative jokes are gone. There's no more jokes anymore, because now it's not about, what's interesting is people talk about reels because they're looking for, you know, clout or followers or whatever. Yeah. But like, I'm getting sales, so that's a different conversation right there. So,
can you put a link directly in a reel then, like you can with a
I don't know, but I mean, the trees, that the leaves that were shook out of the tree came from old customers who just happened to be on Instagram at the time.
Cool.
So it was like there was some surprising developments. To the
so
point
it's measurable for you. It's measurable. It's working, and you can see it's working. That's
I
good.
Mean, yeah. So it was like okay, joke. All jokes are over. You know, no more bitching. let's get the rake out and rake up some of them leaves.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, and then nice. This is going to lead me to a question I have for you. I was kind of investing in some things for the shop, and I was, you know, I took some, you know, we were ordering some more steel. We're getting ready to do two more knife, the last two knife drops for the set, the Neptune Sunrise set. And so I'm finalizing. One knife is finalized, and the template's going to go out, and then I'm working on this last knife that's going to go out, and, you know, we're just trying to figure that out. And we had some meetings, and we were doing some kind of fun stuff, and like this turkey club is going to be very limited. It's going to be ten sets of three. A three-piece 10-set, and we're working the details out. I'm going to have it ready for November 1st when the newsletter comes out. Everybody will be ready to ship, which is kind of neat. And then I started in kind of buying some stuff that we needed, and I was really kind of focusing on thinking about investing in your shop.
Mm.
If you could think about, you know, and I just don't. A lot of people, when they think investing in their shop, they think I'm going to buy some tools. You know, I'm going to get a power hammer. I'm going to get it. And that's never been my direction, especially during the pandemic. The pandemic was good for us, but I didn't invest in buying new tools or buying new. You know, obviously you got to get the abrasives and you got to get the disposable things. But I really kind of wanted to focus on the labor. If you had a windfall, we're not talking like millions. We're not talking life-changing money. We're talking about a windfall that you just like, you sit down and you say, I need to put this back into my business.
Yeah. A windfall of leaves, as you talked about, that need raking up, okay?
You've raked in a lot. The tree,
okay.
That you shook the tree, the leaves came down, you raked them up. You're looking at this big pile of leaves and you're going to say, I'm going to invest in chop knives.
Yeah.
What are you planning on investing in?
I think for me, going forward now, because things are going to be changing hugely in the next 2 or 3 weeks with the kids going back into school and my wife going back to work as well. I think if I were to plan out, almost like you do, but in a longer term, the next year, sort of the drops that I'd be doing, let's say every 2 months I'll be doing a drop of a certain model or whatever it would be. If I were to invest in getting these laser cut blanks now and get them all in and get everything squared away, I could then almost, you know, take up my time and divide it up ready, so I know exactly what I'll be doing in 3 months' time, 4 months' time, 5 months' time. Whereas at the moment, everything has been very sort of, when I've got the time, I'll get into the shop and I'll do what I can. And, you know, things can change, you know, by the week, what right. I'll be doing the following week. So I think now I'm going to have that time to be more structured. If I had the investment to get the materials in for the whole year, that would be huge, because then I could just focus on, right. I know what I'm doing, you know? So I think productivity-wise, that would probably be the best investment for me. What about yourself?
It's interesting.
Obviously, you've got an answer for this yourself.
Well,
obviously.
I thought about it because, like, I'm ready to fucking bring someone else on into the shop. Mm. And I was thinking about it in a way of not like... I'm almost thinking about the idea of dividing labor and separating it. You know, I thought about like what Tomer does, and he's got these real separations. Like some people do some things, some people do the other things. And now we have, I mean, David Tiger Claw Customs is great, and we got him doing a few things and stuff like that. And we're getting, you know, he's at the point where, you know, I can kind of, it's good. I kind of want someone to come in 2 days a week just to help me with the handle scales. Just to do like I almost want like a fine carpenter, like somebody who has a lot of skill using a table saw, because the laminating the now at the point where the handle scales for the Neptune Sunrise or for the Color Lab stuff, I have it down to I know the steps, but it's time, and if I had somebody not even a metal worker. Like, I would take like a, like 2 days a week, a fine cabinetry guy or a craftsman, someone who has experience with woodworking stuff. I would have someone just doing handles. And I thought about it in the sense of like, well, that's the move. I mean, the move is like, you don't necessarily need a jack of all trades. You need someone who has like specific skill set, and that specific skill set now for me, and I never thought I'd think this, is not a metal worker. I want someone who has skill as a woodworker, skill with a table saw, skill with maybe even a tile guy, a guy who does tiles for a living, you know, someone who does, you know, who knows how to, you know, mark stuff up and get tight. You know, fine cabinetry would be the person. So
wouldn't that person be better off served by somebody who could operate a CNC machine?
Problem is, once again, CNC does not handle the G10. You know, it's just too. I'm talking to, and not to mention, I'm kind of of the mind that I like hiring people. I like having, you know, contributing to
the pressures of other people's mortgages on your shoulders. No, you crazy?
But here's the thing. It's not like when people come to me, I say, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about a thing. And yeah. I'm very crystal clear on what I want. Like I said, I want someone for 2 days who will, you know, who can learn and can grow. And as we, you know, because that's our thing now. Like, just having David on is my volume is greater. I can focus on the things. So if I can focus on the things, if I can have someone doing the stuff that I'm doing, and P.S., I'm against the concept of the expression of dumb work or not easy work or whatever. That I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's I need someone who can, you know, cut down the scales. And unfortunately, with the CNC, yeah, CNC would be awesome. But you know what? The same time is the CNC can't. I don't want to spend the time, you know, spending the time getting the machine in, or I don't want to focus on. Also, I don't want to focus on dealing with like I can work out a deal with Bantam Tools, and they'll figure something out. It's going to be it's going to take a long time. You know,
a setup and getting used to it. And it's a whole skill in itself. Yeah.
Bree Pettis told me to get to the point where I can CNC my scales out. My initial investment's going to, and he started talking about like the pieces of equipment I need. He's like, you need $60,000 at least. And if you get this piece of machinery for $60,000, me and my team will figure out the G code so you can. Yeah. And then, but you're going to have to buy new bits all the time. And I'm just like, you know what? I got a guy with a table saw. I just bought a new miter sled. And I'm going to just have somebody in here, a skilled craftsman. And he ended up saying, he says, you're better off with hiring someone to do it and having somebody do it.
Yeah.
So
It's not as if we're doing like mad complex shapes and yes.
And the other thing is, it's just not just cutting. You know, I need someone to help me laminate the scales because there's this delicate balance with how you kind of sand them and prepare them and hand sand them and get them so they can meet up nice and get nice. Yeah. So like I'd love to have somebody come in 2 days a week. Here's the problem. Well, you do like a, hey, I'm looking for help, you know, don't DM me. Whatever you do, don't DM me. But it's just like you end up getting with, I wish I lived closer, LOL. If I only live closer, LOL. It's just like, you want to help me? Help me. If you don't want to help me, I understand. But, you know, so.
Yeah. Right. I've got another question for you regarding this. Bear that in mind after this.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers, available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now!
Do it now! It's what we all use. It's what the best people use. Use Combat Abrasives. Okay, your goal is to grow. As you say, you can get more out, you can sell more and all the rest of it. Your current space, how will that work? Have you got space for, let's say, another two people?
If I had a guy, I already figured out how I would do it. Because the problem is like, I do, when we do the G10, I open the bay doors and I bring the table saw outside.
Yeah.
Just because, and I'm the one using it, and then I have fans making sure that it's blowing out of the shop. So, like, I'll have the table saw outside. I'll put the fans in the shop, shooting it out, you know, making sure that it doesn't, like, because this, you can, when you smell it, that's not, you know, you don't want to smell it.
Yeah, straight into the bakery next door. Yeah, okay.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Master bakers, them dick and balls, cook cupcakes. That's where they go. The space is fine for one more person, not 5 days a week.
Okay.
I mean, that's the this is the problem. The problem is I would in order to have people here 5 days a week with me, I need a manager, because otherwise it's right now it's just me focusing on what needs to be done for the week, what needs to be done for the month. I'm coordinating with the office there, have the list in regard. Allison's sending me lists of what needs to go out this week, what needs to go out next week, and I can deal with it. I can deal with all the bumps in the road, and I can also think through what needs to happen. So when David comes here, I know what he's going to do.
Yeah,
it would be harder. It would be harder if it was, honestly, the move would be what I would have one more person just doing the grinding. One person just doing the grinding. And then, you know, David's in there doing the finishing and the finishing stuff. And then I had someone help me prep the handles. That would be optimal right now.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like I can just about squeeze in a guy 2 days a week, comes in, helps me kind of knock out these scales, laminate them together, put them together, and then we can kind of – that would optimize at this stage in the game. The space, I can make the space work right now. I'd have to stagger people, though. I can't have four people in here at the same time. I could have three people.
Yeah, is there an abundance of space now? Because going through, I mean, we've been, as I said, I've had a family here the last couple of weeks, actually, in and out. But, you know, we've been going back and forth the city and so on. And we've seen so many spaces that are just closed down, not being used. And whether that was due to COVID or what, just, you know, current economy, I don't know. But I'm just wondering whether these spaces will be coming down in cost. And whether it's going to be more feasible for, you know, small shops to be able to get bigger units. I mean, we've been looking at a few units here for a few projects my wife and I are talking about. And you just think, they seem cheap. They seem cheap. And I'm just wondering whether that's just a temporary thing or whether, you know, whether that's worldwide as well, whether that's all over the place.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because I've been really thinking about having long conversations with my business partner, Tony, and he's a smart mind in regards to business. And he's had highs and lows with his own business. And it's interesting just kind of like hearing his thoughts on what happened during the pandemic. And you can see companies who did really well during the pandemic.
Yes.
And you can see, you know, a lot of knife makers did really well during the pandemic, you know. I've said this before and I say it again, I don't like high highs and low lows. I like it right down the middle. And we did good. And we're right down the middle all the time. Everything's right down the middle. You see what happens when people do bang up jobs in weird situations. And then it's how they grow. And then all of a sudden there's a drop off. Perfect example, and I've said it a million times, Peloton. Peloton fucking went berserk during pandemic. Nobody wanted to go to the gym. They all got their Peloton bikes, and then you got the subscription, and it's perfect because you do feel like you're in a gym. All of a sudden, pandemic, then so they ramped up their business. They sold a shit ton more bikes. They were overvalued, and then it just dropped off. And they ended up, I have a friend who works there, and they fired like upwards of 3,000 people.
Yeah,
I just called them
bikes. Yeah.
I called them to, because we did the my wife and I do it. We love it. If for us it's perfect, because we don't want to go to a gym. We don't want to commute. We just squeeze in. It's been perfect. I had to call in to get the extended warranty on the bike, because you know you use that if two people are using the bike every single fucking day, shit falls apart. So I was calling in to get the extended warranty. And I felt like when I called, I might have gotten the janitor, because like he was like, oh hi, well, you know, the office isn't open right now, and I'm just like, this is a fucking multi-million dollar business, and this fucking kid like probably mopping up was the answer.
Yeah.
So there's I think that what's interesting is I think how you think about the economy in its and of itself, and now back to what you were talking about with the building spaces and build, you know, making spaces bigger. I would be nervous about moving only because I got a good deal going on right now. I like how it's going, and we haven't outgrown the space to the point where I can move shit around to accommodate more people. Easy.
Yeah.
Like I see two spaces right off the bat that I could easily make this space accommodatable for two more people. So I would rather just like invest in the people and not invest in things or space.
Yeah, squeeze every bit of juice out of the space.
Right.
Okay, we are turning into full blast here, so we need to do some questions right after this.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to
knifetalk.net/heat. And there, that will take you to Soul Ceramics, who are a distributor of Even Heats. They've got some already built up, ready to go. So take a look on their website, place an order. You'll get free shipping and $75 off. Couldn't ask for better.
Those were okay. We never had knifey. That was knifey talk. We were talking about people's in their shops and what they're putting their money into.
It was. Yes. It was long form stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that I know that our listeners, the first thing they say is, I want to get a kiln, and I want to get a forge, and I want to get a power hammer, and I want to get a press. And then they get these things. But you got to work the fucking things, too. Or somebody got to work the things, you know?
Yeah. You only got two arms. Right. Yeah. Okay. Plum Lee Knives have sent us a question via Instagram at Knife Talk Podcast. They've DM'd. And the question was, last minute question, I'm doing a big Bowie style knife for an order that's going to end up being just a wall ornament. And he says, how functional should I make the knife versus how aesthetically pleasing to the eye I should make it?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah. So it's literally just going to be mounted on the wall. I mean, it's a knife. It needs to, in my mind, it would need to be a performing knife. But, you know, you may be able to take advantage of the fact that it's not really going to be handled so much, so you could adorn it with, you know, brass and all that kind of thing, knowing that it would stay shiny and new looking. But yeah, to me, it needs to be as if you could take it down off the wall and use it. Otherwise, it's just a picture of a knife, surely.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the price. Like, if your customer is being like, you know, if they're insinuating that this is an adornment and the price should reflect that, I think that's your answer. Like if he says, you know, you just get some wood and paint it silver, that's fine by me. Whatever it takes to make it look right. I would say that that's the biggest issue. Because one time somebody asked me if I'd make a sword. And I said, do you want it to be a real sword or do you want it to look like a sword? And that was a good question because it was just like, you know, sword prices and prop prices are different. If it was me and they were saying, I want a Bowie knife, but I won't use it, I would make the Bowie knife the way it was meant to be, regardless of whether or not it was going to be hung the way it's going to be hung or used the way it's going to be used. And the price
would you harden it?
100%. Like, I mean, unless the person said to me, I want a replica, I would make it very clear that this should be, this is either 100%. Or we doing a Fugazi, you know, Bowie knife. That's Italian, you know, Craig. Italian. It's Fugazi, yeah, it's a Fugazi. You ever see Donnie Brasco? That's a good one.
I have, yeah, I love that, actually. It's very New York Italian, yeah. But just talking about would you harden it, here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
I was talking about butter knives earlier in the show, and I was talking to my brother about them over the last few days. He's been here, and I was showing him what it's going to look like and all the rest of it. Would you harden a butter knife?
Oh, boy. Tell me more about the butter knife. Is it going to have like a little, you know, some butter knives have the little serration on there? No serration.
It's got a sort of bigger end to it, like a bit of a fattened tip.
Hey, yo.
But no, there's no serration. There is a very, very slight bevel. And when I say bevel, it's not really going to a point. It's not sharp. But there's a bevel that's just to help with the spread, as they say. We were going to, basically, I'm hardening them. And he's like, well, why would you do, and I was explaining, you know, what you say, why would you harden a knife? Or explained, you harden a knife so the edge will, you know, hold an edge and all the rest of it. And he's like, well, why would you do with this if it doesn't need to hold an edge? And I was like, oh, yeah, why would I? But I'm going to, because if I'm going to make one, I want it to make, you know, the best it's I can
good
make.
Good question.
Clearly. Yeah. But yeah, it was one of those things where it's just like, well, I was going to, but actually, that was a very good question. Why would I? And it made me question why I am. But yeah, so I was just wondering from your point of view.
Well, this isn't like tableware, right?
Well, look, it'll also work with jam and Nutella and butter.
I'm saying, like, will this be like a place setting? You know, is this like a silverware?
No.
So you get one, and it's specifically for. When you put
exactly.
the bud and the high level chop knives, what's the name of this? The butter baby? What are you calling this? What are you calling this knife? You have a name for it?
I don't have a name for it yet.
Spready. Spready.
Butter up. Oh, jeez. It's not going to have a crazy name, no. But yeah, it's just you just need one in the house. Open up a jar or something and spread it. It's not a place setting. No,
it's probably not necessary. Honestly, I mean, if it is stainless or carbon, you have a.
It's stainless. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. How many times have you gone out and you have tableware that bends and it holds? I think most silverware is not even high carbon stainless. I think most of it's just like some fucking boilerplate stainless, you know?
Tin, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you probably don't have to.
But that was the thing. I didn't have a convincing answer why I should be. It was just like, I am, because that's what we do.
Right.
And he was like, but there's no need though, is there? And I'm like,
shut up.
I couldn't answer him.
this is a good point that we should be taking away as business people. The difference between a craftsman and people in this community, this niche community, who says, this is the way you do it, and that's the way you do it, and this is the way you do it because that's the way we do it. There are things that are business-oriented, and it is interesting that you would have a different view, a different set of eyes, to say something that is not, who is not, your brother is not part of the knife-making community. He doesn't know, well, this
not
is just
all.
The way you do.
Yeah.
And it does answer a question. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's... You could make it. It could reflect in the price too. You know, all of a sudden you don't have to heat treat. Only I'm telling. You don't have to temper. You don't have to.
Which is a huge deal. It's a huge
deal.
Time crunch when you're making anything.
And
most
stainless steels, not heat treated, are hard as shit anyway. You know.
Yeah.
Definitely something to think about. If you decided not to heat treat it, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you're not going to put an edge on it, right?
Right. I'll be making both and see, but you know which. You know, if I could get away with not, if you like. But my initial response is, of course, I'm going to heat
it. It's because you're stuck in this goddamn community where, you know.
This goddamn community.
peace and love, goddamn community. I'm with you.
Yes. Talking about community, I want to tell everybody about dharmasteel.se. They make, I mean, we don't have Mareka with us today, who's, you know, probably one of the world's best at making Damascus. But what Dharmasteel do is a stainless Damascus, and they're probably the world's best at that on a commercial scale. So they have these beautiful, beautiful stainless steel Damascus with plenty of options for patterns, which are, you know, they've made them really repeatable. So if you buy a bunch off them, you know, it's all going to be very similar. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. They are Dharmasteel Lab on Instagram. If you follow them, you can see the kind of stuff people are making. They're always special, special pieces. So if you're looking to make a special piece for that special person in your life, go to dharmasteel.se. If you use Knife Talk, you'd also get 10% off your order once you set up your account with them. It's all good.
Get some pants.
Yes.
I think that I appreciate the fact that your brother said what he said to you. Because I think that one of the things that you end up having really new eyes allow you to see things completely different. And all of a sudden, maybe it's different than what other people do, but I mean, you might end up with an idea that you wouldn't have thought of because you're constricted to this specific narrow view based on people in a community. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just for butter. No, this isn't like, you know, no one's going to say, this butter knife, it's this rock, isn't 62 Rockwell? I can't use it for butter.
There's no doubt there will be questions regarding that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's
now no all of a sudden everyone's gonna be like,
you don't even heat treat that. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I mean, for butter, for Christ's sakes, this isn't like you know, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean,
what we'll do? It's so in hot countries where they refrigerate their butter, it'll be hardened. But you know, normal climate countries where they don't have to refrigerate their butter and it's generally softer, it doesn't need to be hardened. Oh, there we go.
Do you eat a lot of butter?
That's the answer. Unfortunately, a lot.
Like, how much butter do you think you eat?
It's my biggest downfall is the bread here, because the bread here is fantastic. And yeah, like a salted butter or just on bread, plain bread. That is quite often like a lunch for me.
How much butter is your family eating a week?
We're easily doing a pack of butter a week.
So a pound of butter a week.
What's that? 250 grams, I think.
You know, they're like a square block.
Yes, yeah.
A fucking pound. Yeah. You're eating a pound of butter a week.
A week, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Fucking.
We're fattening up those kids too, remember? Yeah.
It's like a foie gras factory over there.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the best thing, just a good butter with just a real simple good bread. It's a meal in itself.
I hate to say you're right. Mm. I don't hate to say you're right. But last night I went to my family. We went to a outdoor jazz concert. It was great and beautiful place. And we made a picnic. And my kids were working at this bakery, and they gave her a loaf of bread. And she made me this goddamn sandwich. And the bread was so fresh. And it was I said to my kids, God damn it, this is a top 10 sandwich. A top 10 sandwich. It was, I'm going to be beating your brakes in. I said, I'm going to be talking about this sandwich for the rest of your life. Get ready. When are you going to make me another one better than this? So, yeah, good bread.
It's a cultural thing here, bread. I mean, everybody goes to the boulangerie every morning. And, you know, some people will then go to the boulangerie again around about sort of 5 p.m. before dinner to get their fresh bread. It's a big, big thing. And, you know, we've got a choice of sort of 15 to 20 different styles of loaf. You know, it's a big thing here. And I love it. It's my biggest downfall by far.
Yeah. We're going to get back into knife talking in a second, you bunch of 15-pound loaves. Listen, I got a question for you. I had, back in the day, my best-paying job and worst job of all time was I used to pick up dog shit on the street in New York. My rate was so fucking... I ended up making like $175 for 2 hours worth of work a week. It was unbelievable. At first I was buying comic books and cigarettes and hot dogs. And then I was like, I got to save this stuff. And I saved it all. And I saved so much. I was able to go to Europe by myself with a couple friends. And we stayed at this friend's house and we would go out all night. And then by the time we got home in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, we would stop by this French bakery. And this is in the middle of down by Marseille, this Marseille area.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
And we would show up when the first chocolate croissant came out. Mm. We would stay up just to get that early morning fresh shit. And it was like mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very good. And the thing is, I said some people go twice a day to the boulangerie here because they don't put any sort of additives or preservatives in them. So they literally will go off within sort of five, six hours.
Right.
So if you want good bread in the evening as well, you need to go back, you know? But, fuck, it's good. Especially when it's still warm, like you say. Oh, jeez.
All right, back to knife talk.
Yes.
You're right. You're right.
I'm okay.
The butter knife. You have to come up with a good name for that butter knife, Craig.
Yeah, maybe. I'll keep it simple, I think.
We'll work on it. Don't DM him. He's locked out of shop knives anyway. Don't DM him anything.
Yeah, with possible names, yeah.
All right, the next one is from Dustin Sheffield. Dear Hand Sanding Talk, I need a favor, but it's not about money. Last I wrote, I started a new job at a fabrication shop. We also do blacksmithing. Felt more comfortable at work, so I binged the last 8 months like a dirty Netflix drop. You are still the fucking champions. And don't
Where's he going with this? Is he drunk? What's going on?
I don't know. What's your... I don't know what the favor is, but that's fine. I think he's making a joke because that's what scammers do now. They write in your DMs, like, I need a favor, but it's not about money. You know, that's what that was. Good job, Dustin. He says, what are your favorite kinds of handrails to blacksmith Jeff? We have 165 pound Anyang and ready to bring blacksmith work to Walla Walla. I'll tell you that my favorite thing to fabricate of all time for railings was to do lamb's tongues. Do you know what a lamb's tongue is, Craig?
No.
All right, so you have you know what a cap rail is. That's the top where your handrail goes, right?
Yes, yeah.
So at the bottom of the railing, it drops down, and then it kind of comes back into the post, and then it swoops out like a little tongue. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's called a lamb's tongue.
Okay.
And I was taught how to make lamb's tongues, and it was because a lot of fabricators buy the lamb's tongues and weld them on. They look like shit. I learned how to make lamb's tongues from John Ledford. It was the fucking greatest trick, and I'll show you how to do it now. If you get a piece of cap rail, like that's molded cap rail, and if you cut a V out on the inside of the cap rail, like 6 inches, so it looks like almost like that fish mouth you do on a knot, you know, a lot of guys do one with knives. And then you heat it up, and then you push the tips in together, you end up with this taper. You weld up the seam, and then you can put a piece of channel on the inside and then forge it into a lamb's tongue. Those were my favorite things to make. I could make lamb's tongues all day long. I loved it, and they look so good. So that was my favorite thing to fabricate in a railing. I loved cap rails, and I loved forging lamb's tongues. Those were ornamental parts for my favorite parts of railings.
Yeah, I'm just looking at them now, actually.
They're awesome. Actually, I helped Paul Pinto. He was, like, buying these shitty cap rails from... There are these companies that sell, like... They're cast iron. And when you try to, like, fabricate them into a railing, they always look pretty fucked up. They don't look good. And... The fabrication of making one is so super easy, and they make a railing look really, really high level to the point where it's just like a little bit stunning. So that was my favorite thing to do.
Nice. Okay. Lovely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, Jacob Hamilton writes, hello fellas, I'm curious if any of you have experimented with alternatives to hand sanding. I've been thinking about trying to sand with an oscillating disc sander, like what I was using auto body finishes, or trying a vibratory tumbler with a progression of grits, like what I was used to clean brass shell casing prior to reloading ammo. I'm a hobby knife maker who started making knives about a year ago. I've been very fortunate to be able to afford a 2x72 grinder and an even heat. But I currently do stock removal with carbon steel, but hope to one day transition to stainless and maybe one day down the road learn the art of blacksmithing. The only reason I got on Instagram was to send you this message. Wow. Jacob from Missouri. Jacob Hamilton. Brand new to Instagram just for this message. Thank you, Jacob. Alternatives to hand sanding. So he's a year in, and he's just realized, fuck, hand sanding is a bitch, as we all have. So, there's alternative finishes, which you've mentioned, tumbling, that kind of stuff. If you're using one of those oscillating disc sanders, they'll generally give you, you know, that like the random orbital sander.
Non-directional finish.
Yeah, and it'll give you not the best sort of finish. If we're talking about hand sanding, this is sort of the finish hand sanding, I assume. There's not really a machine that's going to sort of compete if you want a good, as you say, a directional, nice.
Well, let's CSI maybe. What options there are.
Yeah. There's straight off the belt,
yep.
which will be directional. It won't be in the direction that maybe some people would like. But if you're using like Scotch-Brite's belts. You can get some really nice, you know, off the belt. I know Jeff has been doing a lot of this recently as well, since spending time with Toma. You can get some, you know, beautiful, beautiful finishes. But if you're looking for, you know, a mirror finish, you're going to spend a lot of time doing that. But it's just putting the hard work in. After this, we will tell you about a company that can help. But, you know, let's try and answer the question before we throw an ad in.
There's a couple things. Number one is, if you are making culinary knives or any knife without a plunge line, you can use your 2x72 grinder to change the scratch pattern to a satin finish. The problem is if you have a plunge line. Like, there are people who make culinary knives without a plunge line. Those Japanese style knives where there's like, you know, where the flat of the bevel is in line with the ricasso, and then you're only grinding down like, you know, an inch or two. You can hit that with a contact wheel and change the scratch pattern. I know that there are master bladesmiths who told me, like, I just, you know, I don't put a plunge line in my chef knives, and I just run it down vertically on a contact wheel. You can do that. You can also use a sandblaster. Sandblasters are, you know, not super expensive, and then you kind of help change the direction. You can have a matte finish with a sandblaster. You can use tumblers and stuff like that. I think that the hardest part is the reason why people have such a hard time with hand sanding is that they're not preparing the knife for hand sanding to make it easier. So as we've said a million times, hand sanding is changing the scratch pattern from your grinder. Now, if you leave the grinder at 36 grit or 80 grit, you're going to be fighting these giant peaks to get down to the valleys. The valleys are where your hand sanding kind of starts. So you see this, what a grind is, it's the peaks and valleys. So if you can work your way farther and farther down based on the grit progression, it's going to make it easier for you to get into hand sanding. Now, back to you one day being, I think if you have a kiln, there's no reason why you shouldn't be doing stainless steel. I think stainless steel is remarkably easy to heat treat if you have a kiln. If you don't have a kiln, it's still trickier, but yeah. Preparing the knife for hand sanding can be really, really great. And I tell you what, before we get in with the Rhino Wet, we're preparing the knife by, I use a disc grinder. I get it down to 220, maybe 400. And then we use mold polishing stones. I love the mold polishing stones. They really kind of remove a lot of material quickly, and they help you prepare to get ready for the hand sanding. It's always the preparation before you're in there just going back and forth like a crazy person. What do you think?
Yeah, I pretty much agree. We just talked about directional grind lines. So obviously, if you go in horizontally across your platen, you're going to have grind lines that are going from the heel to the cutting edge.
Right.
From the spine to the cutting edge. And 90%, depends who your customer is, 90% of customers wouldn't understand that that's what that is and why that wouldn't be looked upon favorably by the other 10% maybe. But if you are looking to do it where you've got your where you've got directional lines and they are going from, let's say, heel to tip, which is generally thought of as better, it's going to be pretty hard to do it on a machine,
right?
But it's one of those things. I mean, performance-wise, it makes no difference whatsoever. So I think you've got to think about who your customer is really and whether you're going to be able to charge the extra, because a lot of extra work to make it that way. And if you're doing, you know, $150 knives, you probably wouldn't be able to do it at that cost. So it's worth thinking, you know, who your customer is, whether you need to. And whether a belt finish would be enough. Spend some more time, you know, getting a good belt finish. I've seen some belt finishes which are just, you know, they're incredible. But I did the same. Once I'd started, you know, you know, quite a few years back, I was then looking into things like, you know, getting a Tumblr and things like that. And basically, you're just trying to fake what you want, really, which is, unfortunately, when it comes down to it, then putting in that hard work. But as Jeff said, you do as much prep as you can. If I'm going from a belt, I generally try to go to about 400 before I start doing hand sanding. Here's the ad we've all been waiting for. When it does come to hand sanding, I use Rhino-Wet by Indasa. Jeff does, I know Mareko does, a lot of our listeners do. It's, you know, don't go to your local DIY place and buy any old sandpaper, because it's not the same stuff. It really isn't. And you'd just be going through it, and it's not good. Not good for anyone. Get yourself some Rhino-Wet. You can head on over to texasfirestsupply.com, where they stock that, as well as a myriad of other things for the knife maker. And if you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off the order too. So if you're not already using Rhino-Wet, that's the easiest fix to begin with. But yeah, it is. I said, if you need to make sure they're hand sanded, whether you're going to a mirror finish or whether you just want to change that, you know, that directional pattern of your hand sanding, you just need to put the hard work in, I'm afraid.
Mirror. That's what the guys I used to work with, we call it mirror.
Yeah.
And if you go to Texas Farrier Supply, mark this date down. Mark this date down, guys. November 5th, there's going to be a hammer-in, the JDCK Texas Farrier Supply hammer-in 9 to 5. November 5th in Kendale, Texas. It's definitely going to be worth it if you're looking for live demos, hands-on forging giveaways, enter to win a knife, or a class. So Texas Farrier Supply is having a hammer in November 5th.
Remember the 5th of November.
Boom. There we go. I think that you know, it was interesting that you said faking it. And a lot of it has to do with, and the hand sanding thing sucks because it is a substantial amount. I mean, if you're doing stock removal, hand sanding is a laborious task and you wonder why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that the interesting part is I have different opinions. Like, I just did a test. I'm starting to fool around with AEBL. I got my AEBL dialed in and I'm making a couple knives and I'm keeping them for myself and just thinking about how can I pass on value to my customers, because for hand sanding, I mean, just preparing a knife for hand sanding all day, let's just say all day, it's an extra, let's just say all the prep and the prep to get it there and the hand sanding, let's just add an hour and a half to each knife. And P.S. to the guy who wrote this question is, like, once you get in a, if you got to get your hand sanding down, because once you get in a stainless, boy, is a whole different ball game. That 440C, man, I'll give you fritz. Let me tell you. So the idea is like, how can we pass on value? How can we pass on value to our customers? Like, that's what I want. What I want to do is I want to give the best bang for the buck and have my customers feel like they have value. And like you were saying, do people care? Do people care about, like, you know, mirror polished choils? That's something else I see a lot that I'm just like, eh, nobody, these motherfuckers, you know, with their, you know, diamond rings and they're not looking to, you know, change their mascara by the mirror finish of a choil. You know, that's like, come on. I mean, it looks great and all for other knife makers, but it's just like, does it really matter? The question is always, what is your, as a business person or a craftsman, what is your approach, how you want to approach your work to your customers? You know, and it's, I find the whole hand sanding thing fascinating, because to me, when I look at, I mean, I've tried hand sanding, I've tried belt sanding, and I'm getting better at it, but I'm still like not sure that I'm where I want it to be to start selling them belt finished. And once in a while I do a fucking good one, but I can't have once in a while, isn't it good enough?
Yeah, you need a higher hit rate. Yeah,
you have to higher hit rate. So I always do think that when you do a hand sanded finish, two things. One is your eye always is led from, you know, knife is a directional object, you're going from the hand, when you look at it, you're going from the handle to the tip, and that satin finish allows your eye, it leads your eye to the tip and it makes it more visually pleasing.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's really, it is really, a small point to make sure that people know that it is handmade, because it's really hard to build a machine that can hand sand. Hmm. So,
and I also think, as another point to that, I think a lot of what we do as makers, we are thinking what other makers are going to think of it.
Right.
I said the customer wouldn't know. I think maybe if they put some thought into it, they'd say, okay, well, that's probably come off a machine the way that's done that way and so on. But, you know, most won't. They won't even look at it in that way. But we know that the minute we put something up on Instagram or whatever, everybody's zooming in. Everybody's looking. Well, everybody's looking for a fault.
Well, but looking for a fault, and
I wouldn't necessarily say fault. I'd say look for something where they can go, ah, I would have done that. I would have made it better by doing that, you know?
Well, I mean, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I know that my knives aren't perfect. I know that I see everyone and I see something that's just like, the next time I'm not going to do that, or the next time it's going to be better. And no one's hitting me up. No one's coming in my... Yeah. No, I mean, there are certain people who get Fritz. There's certain people. The only Fritz I got was because I didn't fucking spell. I didn't change the spelling in the closed captions of my goddamn video. But like, no one's up in my piece because I don't put myself in that position. You know, of course, you know, you see knives that are just like, okay, that's not what I would do. Or, you know, me personally, you know, I'll tell you what I look at. I look at people who make culinary knives who don't cook. And I can see, you can see a mile away that they don't cook. And I'm not saying tweezer food. I'm saying just like enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Tweezer food. I like that.
Well, you know, I mean, I follow these guys and it's just like, I have tweezers. Trust me. I'll use a tweezers. My big old fingers can't put a piece of fucking, you know, parsley on nice the way I, you know, when we did the food challenges, I was tweezering the shit out of everything. You know, I had a couple different tweezers. I had tweezers in both hands. I was tweezing it up. So. Well, with that said, we could do listener feedback. We have lots of listener feedback. We also have tough scenarios.
Okay, let's do a tough scenario. But first of all, I'll give you a scenario. I'm looking to buy a new grinder. What would you recommend, Jeff?
Let me think about it. Oh, Broadbeck Ironworks. I got off the phone with Broadbeck Ironworks. Vince hooked me up. I had the customer service for we're going to talk about the grinder, but it's for firsthand. The customer service with Broadbeck is number one. They take care of you. And if you go get yourself a new grinder, know this. I know what you're saying, but they have to put it together. Not anymore, ladies and gentlemen. They're starting to sell completed grinders built. You have to put a couple things together. You can do that. And they're painted. We were talking a couple weeks ago about, like, if you got a mister, what do you... You know, don't worry. Tell your sister. We can get that mister. Because we have... Broadbeck Ironworks is selling completed, painted grinders. And they're great. And the customer service is dynamite. All their attachments are very user-friendly. They're knife makers making grinders for their knife makers. And their customers, like I said, got a hold of Vince. I needed a couple things. He sent them to me right away. They're on top of it. Ben Sechrist, Ryan, all them guys over at Broadbeck Ironworks are doing a great job, and it's a great grinder, and they're moving mountains for their customers.
Mm. Yeah. Now, listeners, if you use Knife Talk 200, you'll get $200 off any of their grinder packages, and if you use Knife Talk 100 as a promo code on their website, you will get $100 off their sharpening system or their sewing machine, because they also do sewing machines now for you know, leather makers and, you know, sheath makers, that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, make sure you're using those promo codes if you're a listener. Get yourself a good saving on what is already a fantastic product.
That's it. And they sent me a hoodie. Nice hoodie, too.
I've noticed you're getting all the swag.
I'm local,
I mean,
dude.
I'm not bitter.
Dude,
I'm just saying you're getting the swag.
They got to send it on a porpoise to get it to you, you know?
I mean, quite true. I mean,
if you're from New Jersey, you have it all, too. I'm right here. They got to put it on a... What the hell? They got to put it on a Operation Dumbo Drop to get it to you, for Christ's sakes. I mean, God.
I'm just looking at European sponsors, and I think Dharmasteel, I'm desperate for these pants. I'm just saying.
When are we going to get on the... When is the next Dharmasteel Invitational? I need my fix.
November, I believe.
All right.
Yeah. And we could wear our Dharmasteel pants on camera, too, then, couldn't
we? If they sent me gear, I would wear it. I would wear it for the show by a mile.
There we go.
So we got tough.
And I know they listen. So Pear, if you're listening, pants.
I don't know
pants.
If Pear's listening. I don't know if Pear, to be honest with you. I think Pear's had it with us.
I think
he's
to
be honest with you. He's had it with us. Every time he gets on the phone with you, you give him a squeeze.
I've got to think of a squeeze for this for the next show that we do with them.
Back. Yeah. You're going to get some other flea bags to take care of us. P.S. Everyone's dropping like flies. The podcast game is ours, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And if we talk about wood one more time, we're going to be the greatest maker podcast on this earth. We talk about do a wood show, and we would be the number one. We could compete with all these motherfuckers. Okay? All right, I'm getting crazy.
Okay, let's give me a tough scenario.
All right, here's a tough scenario. Okay. Manufacturer Scars Mabolo. I think I got it right. I'm not sure. I apologize.
Is this this is somebody's name?
Yep. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, Manufacturer Scars Mabolo. I'm with you, my brother. Also have a tough dilemma. I've been working as a semi-pro knife maker on the side for about 2 years now, and I'm at the point where I can charge up to 600 euros for a Sanmai kitchen knife. I'm telling you, give him. Let's let that. In my day job, I work as a personal assistant to a CEO of a small business where I earn a lot. For my age, all right. Let me finish the story. For God's sakes, I'm making it hard on him. In my day job, I have a personal assistant to a CEO of a small business where I earn a lot for my age and education, but it's not enough for the lifestyle that my wife, children, and I have. I can always go to my workshop, make knives, and I'm able to sell them rather quickly, so time spent in the workshop equals money. But my wife complains about me being in the workshop. But she also complains when there isn't enough money for things. What's your advice? Note. I don't know why he gave us his name. Note. My wife's 40 years old, and I'm 28, and currently feeding and housing a family of four on my own. She stays at home, and as the youngest is 5 months old.
Oh, Jesus.
You better
fucked, mate. You are fucked.
You better get your ass in gear, man. You got problems, my brother. I am with you, Manufacturer Scars Mabolo. Let me tell you something, man. You better grow another dick or something. You better work hard, baby, because it's gonna. I mean, time is not on your side.
Oh man, it's that time old thing, isn't
God
it?
God damn it! You gotta figure something out.
We all want what necessary. Not I wouldn't say what we can't afford, but we all want something that we need to work hard for. And yeah, it's finding time and making these sacrifices. Oh, man, I feel for you. There's no correct answer for
yes,
this.
Yes, there
but,
is. Of course, which, there's a correct which, answer.
You said he should leave his wife and children? And just,
no,
is that what you're saying?
Say that, Scars Mabolo. Don't do it. It ain't my fault. Don't tell your wife it's my fault either. Seriously, hope you're not in New York. Okay. Listen, listen, Scars Mabolo. I am with you. You've got to figure something out. And it might be you might have to work. You might have to have an agreement with your wife and say, look, I'm working all day and I am ready to spend time with my family. I am a big after the pandemic. I was like, I changed. I don't work weekends anymore. I mean, I'm here doing this, but other than that, I mean, I spend as much time with my kids as possible. Especially because I mean, my kid's about to go off to college, and I'm like, you know, you got to carve out time to do this stuff, or you need to be more efficient in the way you work. You know. And your timing is time is not on your side. So you have to like focus in on how you can get things done. And you're going to have to talk to your wife and say, look, we all want a little bit more money. And this is the way we're going to do it. Either I got to get a new job or I got to make more knives or I got to figure it out. But right now well, as Craig says, leave your wife. I can't believe you said that, Craig. That's outrageous. Leave your wife and children. That's what your suggestion is? That's outrage.
That wasn't my suggestion. I thought that is what you were going
for.
Certainly wasn't my suggestion.
Scars Mabolo, don't leave your wife. Just figure out a way.
But look, the age gap you've given us, right? If you work hard now for the next 40 years...
Easy.
She's 12 years older than you.
Easy.
You may have 12 years of peace at the end of your life. So that's all I'm saying.
This outrage.
It's the best you can hope for, I'm afraid.
I think that my man, all you need to do is you need to streamline your process. And 600 euros for Sanmai, you might have to bump the prices up. If you're moving them quick, if you're moving them fast, bump up them prices, baby, because... You know, baby needs a new pair of shoes, and mom needs something else. So, yeah. You know what? And this is between you and me. She ain't listening to this. She ain't listening to this. You need to maybe bring that dick. I mean, that might be the unsung easiest move of all time. You need to fucking move that dick around. You need to get that. I mean, let's face it.
Top advice. I mean,
that's
move
the best.
That
that's the
around.
Easiest solution of all time. Get better at fucking. I mean, don't at me about it. But I mean, you know that's the case. If she, I mean, you know, maybe she just needs a little bit of steam blown off. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you,
go.
Dude. Whatever it takes, I'm totally with you for a successful marriage, successful business. You gotta work a little harder, and you gotta fuck a little better. Okay, that's the end of that. Dilemma's over. No more dilemma.
I wish we could just end the show there, but we've got a bit to get through.
I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
You are right. You are right. A happy wife makes the life so much easier. You're right. You're right.
Get that dick going. We get that dick moving. let's go to some listener feedback.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, before we do that, let's head over to Canada. Let's head over to Canada because the guys at MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, Lawrence is fantastic there. They sell everything that you need as a knife maker: steel belts, handle materials, tools, even forges and kilns. Everything you need. So yeah, head on over to MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. They're selling combat. They're selling Rhino-Wet. Everything that we love, they sell. If you're Canadian, they're the place to go. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, and they're also Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram. Go check them out.
Okay, this is listener feedback. If you have some listener feedback, you can follow us on Instagram, Knife Talk Podcast, and you can send us your listener feedback. We've been recently doing a lot of lists, guys. Your favorite knives that you use, bucket list things, and there's a couple more that I wanted to read as they are pertinent to the last few episodes. This one is from J.D. Eiler. Do you know J.D. Eiler?
No.
J.D. Eiler is what my father would refer to as a nudge. A nudge, ladies and gentlemen.
A nudge is like, he's
a good guy, but he's like a little bit, everything, he's got a twist a little bit. Everything's got a little bit of spin on it. Everything's a thing with him. He's a good guy. I'm a fan. He's got a podcast called Into the Woods or something like that. Go follow J.D. Eiler. But I swear to God, when he's in my DMs, he's going to be on the chopping block when I do that game with Mareko. That is for sure. So J.D. Eiler says career goals in no particular order. He wants to become an ABS Master Smith, start a nonprofit metalworking school, start a Texas version of Maker's Camp, and he wants to name it Maker's Roundup when you put a trademark stamp on there like a fool. Like all of a sudden he's a lawyer now. He knows everything. This kid, I swear to God, everything's a thing. He wants to win Forge and Fire, and then he'll still keep asking me stupid questions because that's what happens. And then number five is never stop learning. Oh.
Never stop learning. Start with the thing you put on the CV at the back at bottom of the CV. I enjoy reading books and learning. Yeah.
That's the poster by the bathroom, those corporate posters. Never stop learning.
Yeah. Never stop. With the whale jumping up and splashing down another one. Yeah.
Never. Yeah. Oh, embrace it. Yeah, good luck, J.D. Eiler. You should learn. You stop driving you crazy. That's what you never learn. You always stop learning. You stop learning every fucking time you DM me, you little bastard. I swear to God, never stop learning, J.D. Eiler. You're such a quack. You've already missed out on number five. You failed on number five. Okay, you never learn. You never learn. You drive me crazy. Okay, Cole Star back to. I mean, it is obnoxious. He drives me crazy, and then all of a sudden, he's never stopped learning. He didn't learn nothing. All right. Cole Storm says, "Hey guys, great podcast. Thanks so much for all that you do. I'll keep it short. Here's my 5-piece set for the latest episode: a paring knife, an 8-inch chef knife, a bread knife, a fork, and an 11-inch slicer. As a side note, I mainly use a paring knife, chef, and sometimes I would need a serrated knife. So that would be my 3-piece set. Thanks again, guys. I do like it when people send me the 3 pieces that they would use." Iron Thistle Knives says, "Hey, cuties, while listening to recent podcasts, you guys have several bucket list things to do. Mareko mentioned competing in the Highland Games."
Yes, I forwarded this to Mareko, and he was like, "Oh, who is this off?" So I'm hoping Mareko has also contacted you by now. I'm sure he has. I know he's got a very busy weekend, but I know he certainly will be anyway.
Well, I happen to be one of the organizers for our games in Douglas County, Oregon. I can make your item happen. I can also get you in touch with a trainer or come out and compete blind.
Oosh.
I may pay, and I'll pay your entrance fee. This year's games are the 27th and 28th of August, so a little late this year, but get a hold of me, and I'll make it happen. Iron Thistle Knives, he's in.
Making dreams come
he's
true.
In. I haven't talked to him about this, but he will be there.
So my dream about going to Hawaii, is anybody stepping up for that
Nobody.
One? No.
No, okay. We don't have these fucking things in our own hometowns, for Christ's sakes. This happens to be in his hometown. I'm just kidding. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. You should do it, Marek. If you're listening to this, happy birthday. There you go. Birthday present.
He seemed excited. I sent him this message, a picture of it. And he was like, wow, who's this from? And so I think he's excited.
Well,
so, yeah.
That brings me to a news article.
Okay.
I don't know if he's read that. I got to find it real quick. This is... shit balls. I had it. I thought I had it. And, yes, I do have it.
Quality content, people.
Man
Quality
dies
content.
During Highland Games event in a Dutch castle. Should I read this?
Go for it, yeah.
Or should I save it for when Marekko gets here? A man died Sunday after being hit by what local media reports was likely a hammer used at an event at the Highland Games tournament in a castle in southwestern Netherlands. East Brabant police said in a tweet that a 65-year-old local from Geldrop died after being hit by a metal ball that was used in a sporting event. A medevac helicopter and other emergency services were sent to the scene and were unable to save the man, police said, adding that they were investigating the incident. Oof. So, Highland Games.
So you know what a hammer is, yeah, when it comes to a metal ball.
You know who knows what a hammer is? Manufacturer Scalambolo, because you got to have the
hammer. There we go. So, yeah, not necessarily a blacksmith's hammer. It's, you know, the athletic ball and chain kind of hammer. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so careful. Oh. I hope he does. I hope Marekko does it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was his dream. Why not?
It was his dream.
Why not?
That's about it. Unless you. Oh. We have a Marlboro Handmade, which is Jesse Killian says, here's a hot take. If you need a rolling cart, your shop is too big. Peace and love from a jealous knife maker with a shop that's too small. See at Maker's Camp. Peace out. PA. The PA crew rules. Yeah. Guess what? I ordered another cart, Jesse.
Really?
I ordered a second cart. Okay. I love my fucking cart. I built it. This cart is... I have things all over the shop, and I can't find them. And now I have a cart. That I put all the things that I need on them, and I'm always going, where is it? It's on the cart. I love the cart, and I ordered another one, Jesse.
Mine is small. You don't need much
space on
them. And in fact, it probably saves you space, because I use mine. Let's say I'm working on a batch of knives, I'm at the grinder. Rather than go back and get another one and start again, they're just next to me, so it's just easy. And I line them with like a... you know that stuff you can get, you know, for dashboards in cars to stop things falling off. You know that line it with that stuff so it, you know, you can put stuff down there. It's not getting scratched once it's been ground. It doesn't take up space and it saves you a hell of a lot of time.
I love this rolling cart, and it's not one of them cheap ass rickety ones. This is one of them, you know, and it's not an expensive one either. But
is it the metal?
No,
ones?
It's like a compressed plastic, thick industrial plastic, something like that. But I was using it to, because, you know, like I said, when I do the G10, I'm rolling my table saw outside. So I carry the G10 and I go back and forth and back and forth. And then I just kind of, it's been, and now I have tools that I, like all my drill bits and all my my socket set for, because I'm always using an impact wrench to unscrew something or screw something up. And I love having a rolling cart. It's great. And then I know where the tape measure is now, and I know where my scribe is now. Everything's on that goddamn cart.
They're the best. Let's call it a day. We'll have an after show. Just a second. Thank you all very much for listening. We appreciate it. Every Monday morning, we put up a new episode. We're coming up to... It's not 150, is it?
250.
We're way over one. 250. We're coming up to 250, which we're about three shows to go. So thank you. If you've been listening from the beginning, we do appreciate you. We shall speak to you again next week with Marekko in tow. Thank you. Bye for now.
This show is brought...
Okay.
Did we do all the spots?
We did. Oh,
you're the man. You are literally the man.
An oiled machine.
You're the man.
My wife calls me.
That's what our man, what's his face, needs to be an oil machine.
No oil machine.
Fucking God.
So, what you've been reading, what you've been listening to, what you've been watching, what's been going on?
I've been watching the catastrophic collapse of the New York Yankees, which is like, this is like the craziest. I mean, the beginning of their season has been monumental, like on the verge of being the best record. I mean, they had the best record in baseball for the first like 2 months of base, 3 months of baseball, 2 months, April, May, June, and they were up like 60 wins and under 20 losses. They were crushing it, best record in baseball, and they've lost the last 11 out of 13 games, and they have it's been like. Wow. But it's been very easy to see, like, every game that they've won, or they came from behind. Like, all their for some reason, their pitching just wasn't up to snuff. And then the bats were on fire, and they would just come from behind. And they had these
best way, in my opinion.
All these come-from-behind victories, you know? And the problem was the pitching was weak. And then so all of a sudden, you got three of the best hitters were on the disabled list. Giancarlo Stanton, Matt Carpenter, and this guy DJ LeMahieu, just three dependable hitters, and the three of them are out, and now it's like been this epic collapse, and I'm getting chirped at like nobody's business. Nobody's business.
How long left of the season? How many games left?
We have a lot more. We have like 40 more, probably 40 more games.
40?
Baseball's fucking great. And they're like almost no. There's games almost every day. I don't know how these guys have families, to be honest with you. They're playing like five games a week easy. And because they started late because of the goddamn, they had some sort of shutdown, they had to squeeze them all in. So there was like the first month, they might have had like two games off of the whole month. But it's been fun, and we're going to actually, but the problem is Hillary got tickets to it. I really have never gone to a Subway Series. So you have the American League and the National League. So it's two different leagues. And then the winners of both the winners of the both leagues play each other, and that's the World Series. So you always have somebody the American League versus the National League. So they have been doing more like interleague games regularly. So they got the Subway Series is the New York Yankees, who are in the American League, versus the New York Mets, who are in the National League. So Hillary, who loves me and loves she's an awesome sports fan to go with. She gets really into it. She got tickets to see the Subway Series. Well, the Mets are fucking on fire, and we're going to go to Yankee Stadium on Tuesday, and the Yankees are sucking the dicks of, I mean, they're terrible. I mean, it is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. So we're going to go to Yankee Stadium and get our clocks cleaned by the other New York team, and then they're going to be Mets fans chirping at the Yankee fans, and it's just like, I'm kind of not even wanting to go, which is crazy.
Go for the hot dogs.
I'm going to glizzies. Yeah, I'm going to have a glizzy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been watching the Elvis film I saw this week.
My wife went to see it. She loved it.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. It was a little too... There's like some weird sort of jarring things happening. So in between scenes, they're like playing rap music and stuff. Oh, and it was just like... And, you know, and it was all set as if it was back in the 60s and through to the 70s, you know, and it had that sort of visual look about it. But then they're playing, like, modern rap songs. It was all a bit strange. But, yeah, it was good. There was a lot that I didn't know about Elvis, you know, well, specifically about his bloody manager, who turned out to be a wrong'un, to say the least.
Colonel Parker, right?
Colonel Tom Parker, yeah. So I hadn't realised that Elvis didn't play a show outside the US. And he didn't know why he wasn't playing a show outside the US. It's because his manager didn't have a passport. He was illegal in the US, so obviously he couldn't travel in and out. But they kept giving excuses to him, saying, oh, no, we got these deals in Vegas and so on. And he's taking a 50% cut of that all the time and trying to keep Elvis from wanting to go outside of America because he'd then find out. But
Parker was a criminal?
He was an illegal, so he was Dutch-born, and he got himself to America.
I had no idea.
Yes, yeah. So that's why Elvis had never played outside America. Yeah, it's crazy.
He's from the Netherlands?
Tom Parker? Yeah, he's Dutch, yeah. screwing for 50% of everything he had as well. And I didn't realize that Elvis was, you know, practically broke, you know. It was, yeah, it was, it was enlightening. It was
I'm
good.
Really kind of,
it was good, but
I'm kind of not a Elvis. I used to be an Elvis fan, and I'm not really not an Elvis fan.
Yeah, it was good, but it was. Baz Luhrmann did it, so you know he tried to get a bit sort of arty with it, and there was some things that it just didn't quite work for me. But
if you listen to, there's an interview with Ray Charles, and they ask him about Elvis, and he gets fucking hot under the collar about Elvis.
Yeah,
he doesn't like Elvis at all, and stole a lot of stuff from them. I mean, there's like that appropriation thing that happened.
Yeah, you know, and that's a big part of it as well, really, about how he grew up in sort of black communities, and then he was taking their music, and it is good, but artistically, I think it could have gone in a different direction. Yeah, but what else? I don't know if it's worth seeing if you haven't seen it, the Woodstock 99 documentary. It's a three-parter.
No, I almost went to that.
Fuck, it was a complete and utter cash cow, you know? And people were rightfully angry. And the organisers didn't have a clue what they were doing. You know, the type of music they were putting on, clearly people were going to be pissed and they were going to be trashing the place. But it was far worse than I ever thought. I'd heard it was bad, but seeing this, it was like, Jesus, how people weren't killed, I don't know. It was crazy, crazy. Yeah, that's worth watching. That's pretty much it, really. Pretty much it.
Well, I've been researching for I have some weird news. If you want some weird news,
let's do it. Weird is always
good. I already read the Highland Games. here's a knife. Here, a man's hand severed by a sword at a Hawaiian 7-Eleven store. You want to read that one?
Oh, Jesus Christ! Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is Honolulu. Police in Hawaii were investigating after a man's left hand was severed by a sword at a Waikiki 7-Eleven. Emergency responders were called to the convenience store just after midnight Friday and said that said a spokesman for Honolulu Emergency Services. The man found at the entrance to the parking lot with multiple lacerations, puncture wounds, and a severed hand. His left hand. The man, 40, was taken in critical condition to the hospital. An employee who answered the phone at the something-something Avenue store said no one was working at the time there. The 7-Eleven corporate office in Hawaii didn't immediately call for comment. The victim started to shout and then cry, and then I look at him on the floor, and I saw half his hand was on the floor. According to the man wielding the sword is a worker, and he interacted with recent days at the store. The Honolulu TV station reported the police didn't confirm that the 46-year-old man they arrested is a 7-Eleven employee. Honolulu police launched a murder investigation, the station reported. So,
oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm glad it wasn't.
So he worked at the store and he had a customer. Oh,
I mean,
fuck.
I'm glad it wasn't. I'm glad it wasn't Neil.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I mean, did you describe his hair? Did he have luscious flowing locks?
In the clear. He is. He got an alibi. Just because he's from Hawaii and he makes swords doesn't mean it's Neil. So, Neil, we vouch for you. And you don't work at 7-Eleven. I don't know who the fuck is going to their job carrying a sword with them.
No, that's what I'm thinking.
But,
Jesus
Christ. You know, you hear about these places getting robbed. And there's a video going around of this place getting robbed and... It's a pretty gruesome video. It's a guy, you know, is like kind of luring, you know, the cash register guy is luring them in, and then he pulls out a knife and he, you know, does the, you know, the what Doug Marcaida does, and you know, gives them the old 1-2-3, you know, he gives them, and the pathetic part is the robber is like, oh, I'm dying, you know, I mean, I don't know how you do it, I don't know how you do it, but
yeah. I mean, you just said you saw that online. One thing I have noticed the last few days, so my brother's been here with his 15-year-old twins, a boy and a girl twin, and they've just been on TikTok nonstop, as you know, most teenagers are, just their head stuck in. So I said to Sarah, well, what is it you're watching all day? And we've talked about this in the past. She was watching people eating.
Oh, yeah.
Just and she follows all these people just eating. And I'm just like, what the hell are kids doing these days? You know,
it's called Crumbang or something like that.
It's bizarre. I just couldn't get my head around it. And she's got favorites, you know, that she'll a few times a day she'll check in on them, see what they've been eating today, and it's like, what?
Mental. It is The eating thing is there's a couple things going on that interest me, but I don't know why. One is, do you know about Viet Cajun food?
No. Right.
So if you watch Ugly Delicious on Netflix,
yes, the David Chang
did a whole thing on Viet Cajun food. So a lot of Cajun food is like crawfish boils,
yeah,
and where they have a pot and they season the pot with boil and seasoning and all this stuff, and then they throw this shit in it and they boil it and then they pour it out, and it's so Viet Cajun is the crayfish are like steamed or boiled and then they're sauced afterwards. So it's much more kind of like, it's not like they're not boiled in with the seasoning, they're boiled, yeah, and then they're sauced afterwards. So there, yeah, are all gotcha, these like places now where that are serving this. They're called, it's like boil in a bag. You can get a bag of boil, and you get a plastic bag.
Pre-packaged.
They package it from the store, and then they give you like this clear bag, it looks like a garbage bag, and it's filled with boil, and you sit at your table, and you cut the bag open, and then your whole boil is in there, and it's legs right, and all this shit, and it's so bizarre, because it's like you're eating out of a bag.
Sounds fucking terrible.
They're all like wearing gloves, and they're just slopping their seafood in these big buckets of sauce slowly. I have a real problem with the sexual nature plus yeah, food. That is like, to me, I'll never understand it, and it is so gross. And the dudes, once again, when you squeeze, if you fucking cook me a steak and you squeeze the juice out of it, all of a sudden I'm supposed to eat that. You know, it's like you're ruining it, like that fucking Salt Bae.
Yeah.
That guy's got to go. I mean, I'm sorry. When I say go, I mean just leave. I'm not saying...
It's car crash stuff. Every time he comes up, I'm like, I'll watch this video knowing that he'll just upset me. But yeah. But yeah, just seeing kids just watching people and they're into it, you know? They're like, they'll check in a few times a day just to see.
You know what that Salt Bae does now? He at this fucking bullshit restaurants, he'll slice the meat up and then he'll use his long knife and he'll take one of the slices and he'll dangle it in front of the eater slowly and sexually, like he's like teabagging or something like that. And then I saw one, this fucking Salt Bae, this poor woman, she just, you know, she gets stuck in this video. She's probably got some money. I mean, they're at the Salt Bae in that, you know, gold tinted steak or whatever the fuck they're doing. Cuts a slice and she's like holding it high, so she's got to raise her neck up, and he's lowering it, and then she takes a bite, and then he grabs the other end, and then he uses the knife to kind of cut between their faces, and it's just like,
you are such a pig.
Nobody wants any of this. And the poor husband's been cuckolded, you know, obviously.
Cuckolded,
sitting there watching Salt Bae, you know, pork his wife. I mean, it's just like, God damn it. I swear to God, if that fucking guy, I was sitting at a table and all of a sudden he's trying to like give my wife the fucking long dangler. I swear to God.
The long dangle.
I mean, no tip. No tip, number one. No tip, number one. And then number two, I'm just like, I might have to put my hands on him.
And he's gyrating as well. Oh, yeah. It's
disgusting. It's not good. When he's cutting the meat and he's like fucking with his hips and. God damn that guy. Now, speaking of hips, Putin says that, you know Putin, right?
you know
all about him. Putin says Western leaders would, quote, look disgusting topless after they mock his shirtless pictures. You know about this?
There's loads of pictures of Putin on a horse, isn't there, with his top
horse,
off.
And... fly fishing without his shirt on with his titties hanging out.
Well, I don't want to see Boris Johnson without top on.
Well, Boris Johnson joked that the G7 leaders could take their clothes off to share that they were tougher than Putin amid tensions over Moscow's military actions in Ukraine. Now the Russian president has responded. Now, Boris Johnson, I mean, you want to talk
nobody
about...
Nobody needs to see that sack of shit with no clothes
that,
on.
Number one, nobody has talked about that hairdo he has. I mean, he looks like a firecracker went off in his ear. That hair, he's an awful looking human being, and he's fat as F. I mean, God damn.
Yeah. He's been on holiday in Italy this week, and through the British media, they haven't really it's weird. They're like taking sides kind of thing. And they're not really reporting what's happening over there. If you go online, there's loads of videos of Brits who are on holiday. They come across him and they're just shouting these obscenities at him. It's just brilliant. So the news isn't picking it up, but it's all over online. It's just the
Wasn't there like
thing
a
ever.
Number one charted song saying, Boris Johnson, you're a dick, or something like that?
Is a comment,
oh,
I believe.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, and it didn't get number one. It got in the top 10. Yeah, and they couldn't play it on the radio. But
So Vladimir Putin says in regards to fat old Boris Johnson, Western leaders would look, quote, disgusting if they were to undress above or below the waist. The Russian leader hit back at the G7 leaders who poked fun at him being bare-chested in photo ops during the summit. As they sat down for the table talks, Boris Johnson joked that the G7 leaders could take off their clothes to show that we're tougher than Putin. I mean, you're dealing with a world war, upcoming world war, and you think that jocularity is going to stop anything? Meanwhile, these fucking people are getting shelled, and you think it's funny to talk about pulling your titties
exactly.
out?
Exactly. This guy is a complete joke, but we don't do politics on this show. With that, thank you all for listening. We shall speak to you again next week. As I say, a full raft of hosts, all three of us will be here. So thank you for listening. Have a good one. Bye for now.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.